Welcome to the Liberty Beacon Special, and I'm your host, Roger Landry, founder of the Liberty Beacon Project, and as everybody knows, this show is never done on a scheduled basis. We do this show when we have an individual or individuals or a topic that is paramount to our supporters and should not be tied to a schedule. Today is no different. Today we have a couple of returning gentlemen from an organization that we have partnered up with, and we are extremely proud to be partnered with because they offer into the Liberty Beacon Project something that we seriously lack, and that is judicial knowledge. And obviously a lot of you right now are sitting there going, ooh, I know. And yes, it is the National Liberty Alliance. And I have John and Gerard with me today. And we're going to discuss something that's a little bit different. It's going to have the judicial aspect to it. But we're going to discuss something a little bit different than the usual politics we discuss. How are you today, John and Gerard?
Hey, how you doing, Roger? Good to be back.
Very good.
And go ahead, Gerard.
Thanks. Nice to be here. Thanks for having us, Roger.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to both of you gentlemen. And what people don't understand is that for almost a half hour prior to pushing the record button here, we went into a very, very good discussion that I'm kicking myself in the butt right now. I didn't push the record button when we first started. John, Gerard, we never have a boring discussion, and there is always great information going back and forth. I want you to set up, John, exactly what we're going to be discussing today, and then I'll let you and Gerard kick off the discussion, and I will interject when I believe I've got points that don't sound too stupid.
All right, well, let me just give a little bit of a background. I know your audience is aware of us and pretty much understands what we're doing, but just to give a little quick background, we are building common law juries, grand juries across the nation in every single county. We're actually building administrations in order to bring forward common law grand juries and also trial juries. And in that process of doing that, we have totally organized across the nation. We have organized in every single states, every single one of the states. So we've got a unified New York common law grand jury, unified Texas, and so on and so forth. We now also have, of course, a unified United States common law grand jury. And now we're at a point where we're able to enter into the courts as really the upper hand, as prosecutor, as being champions to the problems of the world or the problems of the United States, of course, particularly with tonight's subject is we're talking about food, geoengineering, problems with our water, our air, that it's all being poisoned. And now, of course, these inoculations that they've been trying for quite some time to force on us, and I understand some states are now trying to move forward with some legislation. I'm not sure whether the U.S. Congress is trying to move forward with that.
But
we plan on
stopping.
We plan on stopping that in its tracks. First of all, you know, in order for them to, well, the basis of common law is that your first property is your body. You own that body. And they cannot do anything with that body that's really the liberty, your liberty to do with yourself, your body, whatever it is that you please. And they cannot commandeer your body. They cannot incarcerate your body without due process. They can't, give you an injection or force food or any of these things.
Can I inject something right here?
Sure.
Which you've already heard, but I feel is so appropriate. When the people allow the government to decide what foods they eat and what medicines go into their body, soon their bodies will be as sickly as the souls of those who live under tyranny. Thomas Jefferson.
Well, amen. A man ahead of his time. And we owe a lot to Thomas Jefferson that has built the foundation of America with our other founding fathers, but he is really the essence of our foundation, what we are built upon, which is common law. He did the research, and he also did the teaching and convincing of our other founding fathers to go forward with this kind of a new government. But anyway, getting back to the problems today, You know, you go into a grocery store to buy food and you start looking at the ingredients, and you can't get anything without that isn't attached with the GMO or high fructose corn syrup or some other things that I don't even know how to pronounce. And all of these things, or many of these things, are destructive to the body, destructive to our health, causing us to gain weight, to become obese, and be unable to get rid of this obesity and so on. They also have done the same thing with our water and our air. You know, they're pouring out stuff in our water, and they're putting things into our air, and all of this is really working against our health, and of course that's why the health of America is really going down. And of course now they want to push these injections, which we know have metals and mercury and different things in there that causes even worse problems, particularly mental problems. They cause problems with people, cause people to have autism and also dementia. And so we've got to draw the line. We're at a position and a point now where we're able to enter into the courts and pretty much take control of the courts. So we're going in there with the CPS problem. Which is the Child Protective Agency problems across America. That's plaguing us across America. And we're going to do the same thing with this these immunity shots that they want to start giving people in the name of health, which is really destructive and a plan really to really reduce the population, in my opinion, and definitely make us sick along the way in order that they can make more money, because it's all about money to these people. And but the first order of business is the fact that, and this is where they really lose it. If you could take control of the courts and make sure that you're in the right jurisdiction, they bring us into a fictional jurisdiction. And that jurisdiction, ultimately, the judge is the king and he makes the decisions, and we see it all the time. He actually rules right off the bench. He'll make law right off the bench. And if we can turn that around, which common law provides for, and we can show the two different jurisdictions quite clearly to a point where it makes them very nervous, because they understand once you make this case on paper, they now become convicted themselves. They become guilty of a crime because they're trying to move us into a jurisdiction that isn't even legal. It's a fiction. But it'll remain reality to some degree, because reality is the way one perceives it. And as long as people perceive and believe that this is the law, then that's what they're going to get. So we're trying to turn people's minds into the direction and realization that this is not law. And we've got enough people now with us and behind us working with us that we can go into the courts and push the people's position and rights to bring common law back into the process. And once we do that, the bottom line is due process. You can't stick a needle in a person without their permission. You have to first take control of their body. And so how are they going to take control of their body without convicting you? Of course, what they're working off in the fiction is that we are imbeciles or infants, and that's the position. That's why people come in with lawyers, because we're incompetent. And once we agree to go in with a lawyer, we've agreed with them that we're incompetent and that we're unable to make any decisions, and whatever takes place, we agree to. And so as long as we remain ignorant to that fact and allow these people to have their legal conversations in the courtroom and their backroom deals, we'll never get justice in America, and we'll never get out from under their thumb. So again, that's why we're doing what we're doing, is to teach people the process, to bring the people back into the courts, for them to take control, and also to start launching some lawsuits where we come in as prosecutor, we come in as control of the court, and bring in the true tribunal, which is an untainted trial jury. And one of the things we do want to do is we're starting to work with the problems of food and water and air. So we put together a committee. We have two individuals that are the directors of this committee. One of them has a detective's background, so they have investigative background. And the other one has some research background and also a background working with large corporations, so the managing skills are there. And we're looking for other people to work with us to come in and join that committee and give us whatever they can, whatever skills that they have and knowledge and understanding, in order to help us build the case in all of these issues. I mean, we can go through this list, and it seems to be quite a lengthy list of things that we have to deal with. In fact, I'm looking for the website. Here it is. I was just going to read off off of your website.
I can absolutely give you the list, and I can actually give you the tie points and the list of the most blatant issues that we face today, all simultaneously. This is what everybody needs to understand. We are, in the United States, the most drug nation, the nation most, actually over 100 million Americans are under the influence of either psychotropic or psychiatric drugs. So we are the most drugged nation on the planet. We are the most geoengineered nation on the planet, and from that we have poisons falling from the sky every day. Anybody who doesn't believe that, well, basically you're an idiot. We are the most vaccinated nation on the planet. We are the most fluoridated nation on the planet. We are the most exposed to GMOs on the planet. And the United States has the worst health. In the last three generations, we have fallen from the healthiest nation on the planet to the sickest nation of any industrialized nation on the planet, with the fastest rising rate of infertility on the planet. This is not a coincidence, my friends. Now, one more point, and then I'll toss it back to you. When I talk about each and every one of these mechanisms, if each and every one of them was being perpetrated or perpetuated by themselves, it may be something you can escape from. But right now, the air you breathe, the water you drink, the food you eat, the medication you take, what gets pumped into your body, and the electromagnetic bombardment all around us, these are all happening simultaneously. Any good researcher, any good microbiologist, especially at a PhD level, and Dr. David Lewis is our science advisor for the Liberty Beacon Project, will tell you that if you put three medications in a body, they're not additive. What you would end up with is a reaction that could be magnitudes above when the three of them combine in the human physiology. So when you put all five or six of these main heavy hitters that I mentioned that we're all exposed to at the same time, when the human physiology is exposed to them simultaneously, the reaction that the body might give out in a negative fashion is not additive. It is magnitudes higher than any one of them as they stand alone. So if we don't utilize the obvious mechanism that you're providing, John and Gerard, to push back against this, that is the only mechanism we have at this point. Because you can't stop breathing, you can't stop eating, you can't stop drinking water, so you can't get away from this. The only way to solve this issue is to push back against it with a solid and effective mechanism. That's why you two are here today.
Yeah, actually, you know, they're talking about, oh, the country's going to go under martial law. The truth of the matter is it's so bad that people should be putting the corporations and the governments under martial law to have them cease and desist this. That's how bad it is. We really need to move because we don't have a lot of time left. When you have levels of aluminum and barium that are 50,000 times above what the EPA considered normal, throughout the world, never mind the United States, but throughout the world, this is serious stuff. And it's in everything. It's in our ecosystem. I mean, come on, we have to move and get moving here.
Yeah, we can't escape this. It's everywhere, as Gerard says. And, you know, I just wanted to bring up one or two items. You know, and again, the idea of trying to escape this is an impossibility. I've tried. I've looked at different foods. I mean, you have to eat dirt if you want. And even that's contaminated. You can't eat anything, it seems, these days. But, you know, you look around and they're selling a lot of programs on how to lose weight, you know, people who are obese and so on and so forth. And they're making tons of money. And I'm sure the pharmaceutical companies and all these other big corporations are behind all this because they're making us to this position and we can't get rid of it. I saw on Dr. Oz, you know, they're always coming up. He's always coming up with something new that may help to lose weight. I just recently heard about another one that's supposed to go in and actually deal with the fat that's in your belly, because a lot of belly fat is the problem, particularly with men. And But I was looking, I was watching a video a while back. As a matter of fact, we have it up on our website with Monsanto, and they were raising chickens. And I think the normal process of raising a chicken from egg to slaughter used to be 90 days, and they've been able to reduce this to 45 days. And they showed these chickens, you know, in this building being raised up. And a lot of them couldn't even get up and walk, and because one of the things what they were injecting them with not only gave them the ability to mature quicker, but also, of course, to get fat quicker and to gain whatever it is that's coming getting into them. So we're eating these chickens and probably other foods that are similar to this to accelerate the growth. And a lot of these things are giving us problems, of course, causing the obesity. There's also a situation which maybe Gerard can talk more about, and that's called the wheat bellies, and where an individual did some research. Maybe you might explain that a little bit, Gerard, because this is the big problem, at least that we can see, one that we can actually see. It's everywhere. Everybody has this weight problem, and especially you know, men in the bellies have the weight problem there. But Gerard, talk a little bit about that. That doctor who wrote a book called Wheat Belly.
That's actually one of the scarier things, because look at wheat, flour. It's the staff of life. It's things that that's what's kept the human society going for years. And what they've done is they've hybridized it. They've actually GMO'd it by pouring chemicals on it, chemicals that are so powerful that the material data sheet says that if somebody gets this in their mouth and they fall on the ground and stop breathing because it makes your respiratory system shut down, do not give them mouth-to-mouth because you will die. So these are really noxious chemicals, and what they've done is they let the plant grow, and then they hybridize and pick out and crossbreed the attributes that are best for them. Now, look, wheat – as now, it's shorter, it's hardier, it grows in all kinds of soils now. This is all the result of this. It all sounds really good. The only problem is they never tested what it does on the physiological body. And what they've discovered now, what we've discovered because we're human guinea pigs, is that it's highly inflammatory. Even pigs that eat this stuff, when they open them up, the entrails are all inflamed. And so most of the disease that we have today is inflammatory disease. See, heart disease is nothing more than an inflammation disease. You know, your arteries become inflamed. And so the more you eat this food, the more inflamed you become. And what's happened is, which so scary is there is no, almost no, Harlequin wheat, you know, the original wheat, it's all becoming contaminated because, you know, the bugs and the bees, they cross-pollinate, and eventually what you have is you only have Monsanto stuff, and Monsanto has passed laws so that, you know, they can go in a farmer's field, and if they find their DNA in your wheat, they say you stole it, which is the most ridiculous thing in the world because the wind carries it in. And not only that, you don't want their stuff in your wheat. So countries like India have outlawed it, have banned it. Many, many countries, Europe. Of course, America hasn't banned it because America's controlled by the corporations. They're controlled by Monsanto. Look at the AMA is run by guys who took sabbaticals from these pharmaceutical companies, and they get put on the board. And so what they're doing is they're passing laws that benefit their corporations. Is this what we want? And then you go to court and you get a judge who's collecting money who's been elected due to their lobbying. So what the common law grand jury does for us is it takes those things out of the government's hand. You can't expect the corporations or the government to poke their own eyes out, which is exactly what they need to do. You know, they need to commit Harry Carey with this stuff, and they're not going to do it. And only the people can do it, because we have to have juries, grand juries, and juries that are not connected politically, monetarily, or any other way in order to fix this thing and do the hard, tough love thing that it's going to take to bring the world back to where it needs to be. And we don't have a lot of time, people. You know, this is we're on the end of the road here as far as how much more we can stretch our environment. So it's a scary thing when you can't even eat a piece of bread because it's going to cause inflammation that gets into your joints and your heart, and it affects everybody a little differently because your environment determines what part of your heredity is expressed. You know, you may be weak in your joints, I may be weak in my heart, you know, and we've just been taught that, you know, you take a pill or you cut it out or you do all these things that don't fix the problem. And the problem is that they've created these problems to sell us the solutions which they make, which then feeds the problem. And I wanted to say one more thing before I yield here, Roger. You know, they've never done any studies on the interactions of drugs. And if you ask any biochemist, any doctor, MD, does he know what happens when you mix five drugs together, what the results are going to be? And the answer is no. They've never studied it. Yet the average person in the United States is on more than five drugs together, because what happens is they put you on one thing and it causes symptoms, and then they prescribe on those symptoms and they put you on another thing. They have no idea what they're doing, except for they do have an idea, because the big companies understand that our health is going down the tubes and our life expectancy is going down the tubes, and they've been robbing our Social Security and our retirements, and so their main goal is to make sure that you never get there to collect it. So they're doing a real good job.
Wow. well, let me just relate to a couple of points you put out. The chemical that you're talking about that's put on so many GMO foods or genetically engineered or genetically modified foods is called glyphosate. Glyphosate is the most widely used weed killer on the planet, and it is a Monsanto creation. And it has been proven to cause sterility. It has been proven to cause cancer. It has been proven to cause kidney failure. As a matter of fact, the WHO from the UN just rated glyphosate as a level 2 carcinogen. So now we know. The world knows. Now, they have banned in a lot of EU countries the use of these chemicals, and in other countries across the planet. We can't get it, we can't even get our food labeled to tell us if it's there so we can avoid it in this country, never mind get it banned outright. But 93% of the population in the United States polled states they want at a minimum labeling of all GMOs in their foods, and at a maximum, the outright banning of GMOs. And we have a government who literally, the FDA is run by an ex-vice president of Monsanto. And before that, he was a VP of Monsanto, and now he works for this administration basically as the kingpin of the FDA, and influences also the EPA and the CDC. We have a revolving door that is total insanity. But you're talking about a synergy again. And as soon as I'm done with this, John, I want to let you back in because I know you're chomping at the bit there. we're talking about a synergy, okay? We're talking about sucking in glyphosate. We're talking about sucking in fluoride. We're talking about both the mercury, which is used as a preservative, and the aluminum, which is used as an abogen in vaccines. We're talking about drugs that at the drop of a hat, if your child has trouble focusing in school, the first thing that that counselor is going to do is send them to a psychologist who's going to put them on drugs. If you push back against this, CPS will come in and take your child away from you because the state has total authority in their eyes over your child until they're 18 years old. So what we're looking at is a synergistic attack from every direction simultaneously. The only pushback we have, and I'll repeat this, at this point, because you cannot escape it. There's no way on the place on this planet to run and hide. The deepest cave, the highest mountain will not protect you, is to formulate the type of organization such as the National Liberty Alliance and go to court and bring these people to their knees. John, I know you got something about to say that, and I want you both again to emphasize at least once or twice more before this show is over that you are looking for volunteers with knowledge within the areas we're discussing today to volunteer time to add their knowledge to your database to help you to write the papers and to write the proceedings you need to take this into court.
Well, amen, and you led right to this place anyway, to that point. In order to stop this, we have to go after the individuals in government that are creating this process and permitting this and allowing this to go through, because look, everyone realizes that how much damage these things do to you. Most people realize, for instance, that high fructose corn syrup, which just seems to be in everything. Again, you can't seem to buy anything without it in it. We know that that's the problem, and people are starting to become aware of the problem with the wheat. And so those two items alone, and wheat is in wheat is in everything. You pick up anything, and you start reading the ingredients, and you'll find wheat in there. You find high fructose corn syrup, and so on and so forth. So what we have to do is we have to go after these individuals and these large corporations. We have to identify the corporations, the big ones, and we have to identify the individuals that are really opening up the gates to allow all this poison to be come out into society, and it's really making us sick and killing us. And so therefore, you're right. We do need volunteers. We need people who have this kind of an expertise. My understanding of being able to articulate the sciences of these things, is very limited. Gerard has a lot more of a background in this area than I do. We put together the knowledge of what is going on, what is the science, lay it out, make it clear on the paper, and then tie in the legal side of things, which, it's a crime to go out and poison people. So that's what we'll go out after. CPS, they're out there, and they're kidnapping children. So we're going out after them for kidnapping. We're going to call it for what it is. A spade is a spade. So these people are poisoning people. They're criminals. We need to go out there for poisoning people and for profiting on it and tie this whole thing together. And that's the only way we're going
to
win this.
I would bring to – and again, this is something that the three of us discussed before I hit the record button. I just published an article which ties mandatory vaccination in this country to violations of the Nuremberg Code. So for every state, or if and when the federal government mandates vaccines, makes them mandatory, or forced vaccinations begin within any of these states, they are in direct violation of the Nuremberg Code. So it goes well beyond just the laws of this country. We're talking about international law. We hung Nazis, doctors. We hung them for what is being perpetrated on, or what is ready to be perpetrated on, American citizens. What makes them immune? Nothing.
Well, exactly. It's all in their minds. They think that they've created a system. And to some degree, they have. I mean, the people have been so fooled to think that words mean something that they don't. Recently, we've been talking about this. People are talking about an Article 4 court. And I think it's Article 4, Section 3 is what they particularly focus in on or point to. And the words don't mean the things that they claim it to mean. It has nothing to do with the creation of a court. The only court that we, the people, have ordained and established here in America is a court of law, and a court of equity under common law. And that's it. All these other courts, now there is Admiralty Court the law of the sea and so on and so forth. But on land, even when that comes on land to be decided, it still must be decided under the rules of common law. But our courts today are running under the rules of chancery. And they have actually created chancery courts, and we have judges that seem to rule and make opinions and decisions on everything. We have to take it out of their hands and bring it back into the hands of the people. I think, we don't need Congress or anyone to get out there and debate and make laws and make any decisions for we the people on what's going to go into our bellies and into our veins for medicines and so on. What we need, though, is the science, the scientists to come on and lay it out, the facts, because I've heard doctors and chemists and people talk, you know, over and over and over again how destructive this is, and I don't hear any of these doctors or any of these chemists or people that have the knowledge of medicines and these pharmaceuticals and so on. I don't ever hear any of them talking on how good this stuff is, but how destructive it is. And yet Congress will go out and actually make requirements and make laws like they're trying to force inoculations on people and things of that nature. But we need to bring it into the courts and give it to the people, because the people are capable of deciding this. You know, a court of law is really common sense and applying what is right and wrong. Justice is the key. That's what you're looking for. We don't need laws to tell us how to make a judgment on an individual or whatever their actions are. People know when someone has done a wrongdoing or when there is no wrongdoing that is being done. And there's a difference between exercising an unalienable right like carrying a weapon and then being accused of some kind of a crime because you do carry a weapon. People need to make that decision. And that's what juries are for. And that's why, as the grand jury, being able to come in as the prosecutor, being able to come in to force the court into a common law process and to actually get a trial jury that is untainted, because they love to play with the psychological makeup of the jury so that they can control them all the way through and put a hook in their nose and then tell them, hey, look, this is the law. And the people believe that this is the law, where the truth is law, whatever you say it is. You are the people. You make up the law. You see the wrongdoing. You got to figure out how to fix it. You got to look for the remedy. You got to make the decision of what the sentence might be or the remedy in order to repair that person might be. That's what your job is, not to listen to some legislator that tells us how to rule. Every case is different. It has different degrees. Some cases call for mercy, some don't. And so the only thing we have to teach and people, and they already know this, the only thing we have to do is give them the tools to come in, and that is to come in with a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. And if all 12 of those individuals in the courtroom or the 25 of those individuals in a grand jury room make a decision under those principles, they'll always get it right. And, the majority of the people in that room will be able to see when someone is being prejudicial, when someone is being dishonorable or not considering mercy or whatever the case may be. And they can actually throw that person out of that group if someone is being disruptive in that way and not bringing justice into the room. Because, for instance, a trial jury usually has two spare wheels, so to speak. There's 14 people in case one gets ill or something happens. So there's always two extra people there. And on a grand jury can whittle all the way down to 12. So if we have to kick out, if they decide that they have to get rid of people who aren't being just in that system, they can get rid of it. And that's a pretty good check on the system. And the people can figure it out, because the bottom line is, once you lay it out and they take this serious and they understand that they have a duty and they realize it could be them sitting in that seat over there that's being accused or the victim over there that's not getting justice, then they have to come in and really make a serious decision. And if they make the right decision, they'll feel good about it. They'll be able to go home and sleep on it. And we have justice that will prevail. And that's what we need back in our courtrooms, and that's what we're going to bring back in our courtrooms, and that's how we're going to fix this problem and get the people to actually look at this problem and make a decision. And this has got to be, our cases that we're interested in, we're not interested in keeping a closed door in the courtroom and keeping people out. We want the doors open. We want video in there. We want audio in there. We want it recorded. We want we want to go right out. Let it go right onto the televisions. We don't care. We'll put it on YouTube. But we're definitely going to get it out to the people. People need to see and understand what's going on and see how duped they have been over these past, probably pretty much my lifetime.
So. I have to ask you a question here, and then I've got something to interject. Did you take one breath during that whole discussion you just made?
Yeah, I took two.
All right. Boy, I'll tell you something. I thought I could talk well. My goodness, you never even pause, but the information you put out is always phenomenal. Let's throw one more thing into the mix that I'm extremely aware of. First off, I need to tell you both that I'm going to put you in touch with a gentleman who is the science director for the Liberty Beacon Project. This is Dr. David Lewis. He worked in the EPA since its inception in 1970, and was one of their leading researchers. He is a PhD-level microbiologist. And when he saw the revolving door, when he saw the corruption creeping in, when he saw the science that was being thwarted in the name of the large corporations, he actually spoke out against it. They forced him out of the EPA, and, of course, he won a lawsuit against them. And he wrote a book called Science for Sale. And this explains all of this corruption, explains all of the cronyism, the complicity. This is somebody I will introduce to your project. I think he would be a very, very valuable asset to you, and we're more than willing to share him with you. But this gentleman and I just did a radio show on which he talks about – we've talked about all of the poisons. We've talked about the vaccines, the GMOs, the geoengineering, the all of these things, the fluoride. But the one thing that beats them all as far as the poisons go, we haven't mentioned, and I really quick want to bring that into our conversation, and that's biosolids. The EPA was brought into being in 1970 because of polluted rivers, because of polluted air. So the EPA was birthed to clean that up. How did they do that? Well, with the water, what they did was created all of these sewage treatment plants. It was one of the most massive programs this country has ever seen across the entire country. And what did these sewage plants do? They take all of this water, all of the sewage from the city sewer line, so on and so forth, and they strain all of these poisons and toxins and sludge out of the water, purify it, and put it back into the system. What do they do with this sewage sludge, which the EPA calls biosolids? What they have done, unbeknownst to 99.999% of Americans, is they have allowed these corporations that run these water municipalities, these water treatment plants, to take this sludge. Once it's dried out, it looks just like dirt, and sell it to farmers, sell it to organic home farm. If you've got an organic garden at your house, you go to Walmart, you buy fertilizer. This stuff is put on our playgrounds. It is put on in our children's school grounds. It is put everywhere. Now, let me explain to you why I just went through all of this. The levels of lead and mercury and aluminum and arsenic and all of these things that brought about the necessity and the birth of the EPA in 1970 to clean up, this given level, if you take these biosolids that are going on your kids' playgrounds, that are going in your garden, on all of the farms, if you take those biosolids and you test them for these poisons, they are in levels millions of times more concentrated than what prompted the birth of the EPA. And nobody in the public knows about this. We have one of the highest levels of cancer on the planet, and we are exposed to a higher level of toxins in the dirt. And you mentioned dirt. That's why I've been waiting to bring this up, John. The dirt your kids play in has these toxins millions of times more concentrated than what brought about the birth of the EPA in 1970, and nobody in the public knows about this. That is a crime.
I think we just found the target of our a case really would be the EPA.
And
you know,
David is a
the key thing is this,
veteran
is
of the EPA.
We have got to get this stuff out of our food, our water, our air, and wherever we can. I mean, there are some places I don't know that we'll ever get it out of it. I think they've been so destructive with things that they're doing. You know, I don't know what if recovery to complete is even possible. But nevertheless, we got to get it out of our food. We got to get it out of our water. We got to get it out of our air. And so we have to go after the people who are permitting and allowing and even planning this stuff into the system and the largest corporations involved with it. I mean, we know that that Monsanto is one of them, and I'm sure there's a whole list of them.
Merck is by far one of the largest producers of vaccines. Monsanto is the largest producer of GMOs and the biotoxins that they spray on them, such as the Roundup, which contains glyphosate. But what most people don't know is, and here's something else that's going to shock the hell out of you, we all know what Agent Orange is. We know because there are still Vietnamese children being born with birth defects all across North and South Vietnam. What most people don't understand is that the FDA and the EPA have already approved the active ingredient in Agent Orange for being sprayed on crops in the United States. It's a done deal. Agent Orange is being sprayed on the food you eat. Now, if anybody thinks that I'm bullcrapping you, I dare you to challenge me on this. I will prove it to you in the beat of a heart.
All right. Well, like I said, I think we found our targets.
We have a lot of them. And what I'd like to do is hear a little bit more from Gerard on this, because, Gerard, I think you've probably centered some of your research around these poisons we're so heavily being exposed to on a continuous basis and all simultaneously.
Well, you know, it's a growing process. You know, if you took all this in all at once, you'd go crazy, probably jump off a cliff somewhere, you know. So I came into this gradually, but you know, with the fluoride and the mercury amalgam in the teeth and that type of stuff, and that was, you know, I can't even tell you how many years ago, but it was over 40 years ago that I started on this. So it's been nothing but a discovery since then, and it hasn't gotten any better. It's only getting worse. And you know, we could talk all day about this stuff, and it just goes around and around, and it weaves in and out of every facet of our life, and it's a very serious thing. You know, people can stand there and deny, but you know, we're at the point where the evidence is there and it's on the table, and you can look at somebody like they're crazy all day long, but the papers are there. The renowned guys that like you said have the PhDs have done the work. And basically, the good studies are just being buried,
yes.
And it's politics, and it's money. And look at if they have to, they put a bullet in your head. Well, they're well beyond that point, because they're such maniacs, and they're so greedy, and they've been so blatant about it that look at they're about to lose control of this world and themselves, and really. We got to come in, and we got to, you know, we got to have a big broom and shovel and sweep them up, you know. And how do you do that? I mean, it seems like an impossible job if you stand there and look at the whole thing. Well, I'll tell you how you do it. It's just like how you clean up a nasty mess. You start in one corner and you start going, and you get more people, and the more hands, the better it is. So, you know, it's a cease and desist thing, and you have to, the first step is the beginning of the journey. And we have to have publicity. People have to wake up, and they have to realize that this is not fantasy. This is the real world we're in. I mean,
well,
you know,
go ahead. That is what we are here for, and such as having this show today. And again, let me tell everybody what the actual purpose of the show today was. Everybody knows, because you've listened to shows all the time about these health issues. We all know the evils being perpetrated. We all know that something has to be done. So I've told everybody over and over again on almost every show, I talk about the National Liberty Alliance, and I talk about them as being the action portion of We the People, the group, the organization that is going to allow us to actually accomplish something against these people, because you can't run from it, you can't hide from it, so you have to stop it. So the purpose of today's show, which John has mentioned quickly in passing several times, and I want to put a little bit more emphasis on, there are a lot of people in the listening audience of the Liberty Beacon Project, and we've made it our mission to give the National Liberty Alliance as much publicity as we can, to give them as big a footprint as we can. This is what we do at the Liberty Beacon Project. This is what we're here for, is to get the message out from everybody who's got a great message. The National Liberty Alliance has a phenomenal message, but what they don't have are the experts or the people that have spent enough time doing the research to be able to speak in a highly intelligent fashion on these topics. The topics we're talking talking about today are these mechanisms of American health destruction. The GMOs, the geoengineering, the vaccines, the fluoride, the biotoxins. But we don't have to talk about the biotoxins too much because David Lewis, I will put him in touch with you guys. There is no better expert on the planet. He is the top expert on the planet on this, and I'm sure he will be more than glad to discuss that with you. But for all of these other topics, what we're looking for today is anybody who's listening to this show and has done the research on the level even I've done, because I've written hundreds of articles and done hundreds of shows on these, but I don't have time to sleep, never mind lend even more time to the National Liberty Alliance. But a lot of you out there who would like to be a part of the solution, not just complaining about it, not just talking about it, not just standing on your soapbox with a megaphone, but actually be a physical part of the solution, these gentlemen are going to give you a way to contact them before the end of this show. Contact them. Let them know your area of expertise, where you've done this. This high level of research and what you can offer. This is what they need. This is the purpose of today's show, to get as many of our listeners to volunteer their time to help John Gerard and the National Liberty Alliance put together the information they need to take this into court and take these suckers down. Did I cover that well enough, John?
Well, that's pretty good. What people have got to realize is that we do have the solution. You know, we yes. have been looking, just like everybody else has been looking, for a decade, some longer than a decade. But we've been looking for the answers. We've been through the Liberty programs. We've been through the Ron Paul Revolution program and all these things. We did the committee man stuff. And going into the politics and trying to make reason with people and with, you know, and they just don't listen. You try to get good people into office, and none of it works, and you just go deeper into apathy. You're depressed. And what people have to realize is that there is a solution to all this, and we have found it in the courts. The secret to the whole thing is the courts. Whoever controls the judicial process controls actually the nation, ultimately, in the sense that they can if they make corrupt courts and they allow people to get a pass when they commit all their crimes, well, obviously that's a problem, and that's what's going on right now. That's why there is no justice. But if you can get justice into the courts, then the criminals will be stopped, and this whole process will stop. You know, and that's the key thing that people need to understand. You know, the purpose and the power and the authority of the common law grand juries is to seek and stop and prevent or whatever is necessary, any wrongdoing, whether it be in the political or judicial realms. And if you stop it there, you stop it everywhere. So if the EPA is doing illegal things and we have individuals who understand that they're poisoning people and that they're permitting this all this floodgates of all this poison to come out into society, and we're eating it and we're drinking it and we're breathing it, if that is what's happening, then these people are criminals and they need to be brought to justice. And that's the way we deal with the process, and that'll stop it all. We also have to go after these corporations that have partnership with these people. I'm sure there's a lot of money flow between them. And that's, it's all about money, okay? So we have to go after these corporations. We can't let them go. These people are guilty of crimes against humanity at a level far greater than Hitler, in my opinion. And people have been dying and suffering, and children have been stolen, and they've been sold as in the markets and slaves, and people aren't even aware of this going on, and all of this is going on. And nobody's saying anything. You don't hear about it on the TV. You don't hear it about on the radio. You'll only get it on the Internet. You'll find it in places, you know, like the Liberty Beacon or National Liberty Alliance. You'll see it on YouTube and so on and so forth. And so, look, we the people got to take this back. We have been doing things in the court for a while. We've been notifying the media. And we've been sending out, I think it's 800 different media outlets, and not one of them has done a story on us. But that's okay, because
that's
we knew that
true.
Would probably happen. Well, except for here online, of course.
We have.
But we're talking about the mainstream media, quote unquote. And so they don't pick up on it. But that's okay, because we are at a point when they're not going to be able to ignore us, and they're going to be forced to report on us, and they're going to be forced to report the truth, which means they're really going to be self-destructive, because they have become complicit too, and they need to lose their licenses. You know, the First Amendment protects them. And their duty, because of that First Amendment protection, is that they have to inform the people, be truthful, and protect and sound the alarm when something like this is taking place. And they're not doing their duty. They're not sounding the alarm. Not only are they guilty and part and process of the crime, okay, but they themselves, they got to lose their licenses to continue forward because they can no longer be in a position of trust.
Can I tell you something else? And that's, see, for everybody listening, that's my spot in this show. I come out with the mind-bending little statistics here. I can honestly tell you that if you take the global situation as we refer to these biotoxins and we refer to vaccines, if you take over the last century, one century, all of the death and the ruined lives that have occurred from just these two industries alone.
Right, just think of all the children that have died of cancer because they prevent any cancer cures.
Okay, but my point here is the death caused by just these two industries alone in the last century are more than every single war in the entire history of humanity combined.
Mm-hmm. You know, I go into the grocery store, and every single time I go into the grocery store, at least recently, they have this cancer thing program they're going through. And every time, they ring me up and everything, they would you like to give money for, to help cure cancer? And I say, why should I? The whole thing's a con. There's seven cures online right now. And as soon, they're talking to you, they got a smile, but as soon as you start talking, they go into a trance, and they don't talk to me no more. They don't even look at me. They're looking down and dealing with the process of exchanging, the money and so on and so forth, but they're not interested in a conversation anymore. It's like people have been programmed to ignore what I just said. And no, they don't believe, they probably think I'm a nut, because they don't believe.
Then we're both nuts, because what
there's a whole bunch of nuts out here.
What I'm about to tell you absolutely proves what you just said. There are clinics in Mexico and Portugal, in Spain, and in several other countries that have a 98%+ cure rate on any form of cancer known to humanity. Every single one of them is illegal in this country.
Yes,
if
yes.
If you want to save your life, you have to leave this country.
That's right. And we have Dr. Brzezinski in our country for some 30 or so years curing people. And what have they done with him? He's exhausted all the money that he has earned in his life
in
or that he's earning in order to defend himself in court. They just keep bringing him over and over and over. I believe he's been there three times. As a matter of fact, I heard that he has actually had juries from past cases coming in to support him, the people who were on the jury and made the decision on an earlier case. They just don't stop these people, and it's time to stop them. We either can stop them. The only way we can stop them is we, the people. We have to do this collectively, together. And we are mounting forces up on National Liberty Alliance, and again, it's nationallibertyalliance.org. We're mounting up and getting all of the necessary troops, the people, to take control of the nation. And we're going into the courts. We're filing in the courts. We file in every federal court in the nation. When we're filing papers right now, we don't file it in one federal court. We file it in all 94 federal courts because we know they're games that they play with making papers disappear. So they can't make it disappear. And on top of that, we were notifying, and we are now moving into a new phase that we are now making part of the whole legal process, every single oath taker in America, which means all of the U.S. Congress, the Senate, every state Senate and Assembly, governors, sheriffs, marshals, right down the line, everybody. It's like 30 or 40,000 people altogether that are our elected officials that should understand and know what's going on. And we're bringing them all into the case. We're serving them with orders under mandamuses as we, the people, as we come into the courtroom and command that these people do the right thing and obey the law of the land as defined in Article 6 of the United States Constitution. That was the end.
And if it's not there, guess what? They don't have the authority, and that's what we run into all the time. If it's not in the Constitution, they don't have the authority. So that's what we're going to hold their feet to.
We did the Quo Warranto, which defines their authority. As a matter of fact, we're getting ready now to put together a constitutional course, which will be free at National Liberty Alliance. We have a free civics course. It's 120 hours. And believe me, you go through that, you understand everything that's going on in the nation at that point, figuratively speaking anyway. But the key thing is we're going to be doing a very special constitutional course going through each of the articles, 1, 2, 3, all the way through, and defining its meaning and understanding and making it clear. You know, when I first started looking at the Constitution, I read it, you know, I didn't really understand it, and I wasn't sure what certain things meant. But, you know, it doesn't take long. You just have to get around the writings of our founding fathers and the writings of the United States Supreme Court, which, believe it or not, has been pretty darn good for a long time. Every once in a while you get something bad, but generally it's been pretty good. And when you start looking at all these writings, you read American jurisprudence, you look at this, you read, you know, Trial by Jury by Lysander Spooner. And you just start looking at these things and reading them, just trying to understand it. Next thing you know, you start reading the Constitution after you start, you know, digging into these areas. You start reading the Constitution, all of a sudden you understand, oh, that's what that meant.
Hey, John,
it's not really difficult.
John, I do want to push back just a little bit. I don't want to totally disagree with you, but I do want to push back a little bit when it comes to the Supreme Court. We're talking about complacency. We're talking about complicity. We're talking about corruption, okay? Yes. Clarence Thomas has never recused himself from a case that has come up in front of the Supreme Court that includes Monsanto, not once. He has never recused himself. Did you know that what he did prior to becoming a Supreme Court justice?
I don't know.
He was a lawyer for Monsanto.
Ah,
he has voted 100% in favor of Monsanto and has never recused himself due to conflict of interest since he has been.
Well, let me just say one thing here. You know, I agree. You know, right now we're in very serious times where the Supreme Court is going to make some very serious direction changes. And even Scalia has hinted to this, that concerning don't think that concentration camps can't return to America, with that kind of a statement. And so they're kind of telling us something. I don't know where their hearts are. I don't know where their souls are. That's between them and God. And I look at these cases that do come out that are relevant to what we're doing, and I discover in certain areas where they make a decision that I would disagree with or you would disagree with, that you discover that the decision was made properly within the jurisdiction that they were looking in. And that's the key thing you have to look at here. I have not found it anywhere yet where the jurisdiction was proper and they made the wrong decision. Whenever it was in the common law courts, the jurisdiction has always been proper and according to the American jurisprudence. That's been my experience. And again, I haven't read it all. There's a lot I haven't seen out there. But I do know one thing, that a lot of the older cases, and that's what we work off of mostly anyway, and older, look, we have a 1994 case, which isn't very old at all, where Scalia, and he seems to be a contradiction, maybe because they have a gun to his head. Maybe he can't do anything. But I want to tell you, what he had did in that case, it was like he threw us a safety, what do they call it, a safety tube, you know, because he laid out the power and the authority of the grand jury. And it wasn't even necessary in that case for the decision of the case and what the case was all about. It was like he was all built up with all this knowledge that he'd been researching and all the cases he had looked into. And it's like he wanted to get it out somewhere. Maybe I want to get it out before I die, before the end of my life, whatever it is that he wants to do. But he got it out there. And it is the most powerful a case that we use in order to really lay it out. And it's not just his words, because most of what he laid out into this case, well, he was quoting other cases, other Supreme Court decisions, our founding fathers, even going in to look at back into the Magna Carta. I mean, and so we do have a lot of great cases out there.
John,
now, when you look at the Supreme Court cases in the states,
John,
they're just totally destroyed.
We're down to 2 minutes. So, yeah. And I apologize for jumping in and interrupting, but what I do want you guys to do is wrap up, give the websites again, tell everybody why we did the show today, and I'll let you breathe for a second. Let me throw the ball to Gerard, and let's do about a two-minute wrap-up. This is the type of show I would like to run for 6 or 7 hours. We just don't have that time.
Yes.
Well, yeah, let Gerard go, and you know, whatever you don't fill in there, I'll fill in.
Yeah, just a couple of quick things there. We've certainly hit the whole gamut. It is a large, massive subject, but it does have a theme that runs through it, and certainly that's corruption and money. Money and corruption, they run hand in hand, and that's part of it. And I believe it was one of the Rockefellers at one point was giving a speech, and one of the things he did was he thanked the media for keeping their mouth shut. He said, because we would not have been able to do what we have done if the media actually reported what was going on.
Gerard, you're overmodulating.
Yeah,
go back
too,
just a little bit.
Okay.
Just get a little further
from
the mic.
Yeah, and he was talking about the secret meetings that they were holding that the media was invited to under the auspice that they didn't say anything about it.
Right, and
the media was actually there.
Right, and those secret meetings have never stopped because, as far as they're concerned, they're not saying anything about everything else that's going on. Because if the average person knew that Judge Thomas was an ex-CEO or whatever of Monsanto, do you think they would hold him in such high esteem?
No.
And back then, I don't think many people knew too much about Monsanto. Not too many people, anyway.
But anyway, that's the thing.
We've got to wrap up, guys.
To take a bunch of time, so I'm going to go ahead and yield. But you get the idea of where we are, where we've come from, and where we're going to, I hope.
All right, well, nationallibertyalliance.org, that's our website. You can get a hold of me, anybody who can work with us and help us, particularly in these particular cases dealing with poison, because it really is a simple cut-and-dry case, poison and right of due process. They don't have the right to take our lives. So with those two positions are the legal positions. So we need the people behind us, the science behind us, the people who've done the research, the people who can articulate, if necessary, in a court of law, and the people who can help us with the writing on that science in order and being minimum as possible to bring it into a courtroom. But you can get a hold of and join our team here. But anyway, you can get a hold of me at john@nationallibertyalliance.org or gerard@nationallibertyalliance.org, or you can call me at 845-233-6560. 845-233-6560. Sometimes I go for days unable to answer the phone, but I usually am on top of it as much as I can. If you don't get me one day, get me the next. You'll get me.
All right, guys, and I hate to say this, but we're all done. I want to thank you so much for being here. A lot of information put out in a very short period of time. I think we've got a couple of marathon talkers here, and that definitely helps. So, again, the National Liberty Alliance, we have a lot of faith, we have a lot of trust, and we have a lot of admiration for what this project is doing. Again, this has been the Liberty Beacon Special, brought to you by the Liberty Beacon Project and broadcast on the Liberty Beacon Radio Network. Have a